Good Sunday morning. Welcome to another edition of the Sunday Rise, a presentation of the Sideline Junkies Podcast Network in conjunction with Clear Production Sports. I am the one and only Midnight Rider. He is the big guy, KG. Coming off of a big night last night with WrestleMania. Big guy, how you feeling?
Oh, like my friend Ken used to say, I feel my hands.
Oh, man.
Yeah, man, last night was really good. It was really good. If you haven't watched our React show, please check that out. It is available as of right now. It's available on Facebook and YouTube. It'll be available for streaming later on today, so you can listen to the audio version. So be on the lookout for that. Man, there's something that we didn't get to, and we'll get to it really, really quick. The championship games at NCAA are set.
Yes.
You have a showdown between South Carolina and Iowa. On the women's side, then on the men's side, you have a showdown between Purdue and UConn. So that is your championship games today and tomorrow, actually. So we'll be recapping the championship games on Tuesday. One more thing before we jump into this, because as you can see by the title, this is draft special. You're on the clock. So before we jump into the draft here.
Before we even jump to that, let's talk about the screen hurled across the world. The screen against Iowa in the UConn game. What were your thoughts?
It was an offensive foul. She got the elbow out and she wasn't set.
Okay.
The aftermath behind it pissed me off.
Well, I mean, that's just the world we're in.
No. I'm tired of this world. I'm tired of this world always saying when something doesn't go your way, oh, it's rigged. It's rigged. This is scripted. This is the script. Stop it. And then the death threats. Like the young lady from Iowa, she had to deactivate all of her social media because she was getting death threats. Kid from Purdue was getting death threats because he hit a three and moved Purdue above the betting line. You know, like, are we serious right now? Is this what we're doing?
The problem is we've given people tools to feed their greed. You know, we've allowed people to gamble on things and they weren't taught the rules of, like, when you gamble, you lose and somebody costs you something. Yeah, you said, like in our gambling group, we'll be like, oh, I'm never betting on Jason Tatum ever again. But that doesn't mean if I see Jason Tatum, I'm going to be like, oh, you messed up. You cost me $1,500. No, that's a whole part of gambling. If you can't take the losses, then don't do it. You know? Like, if you can't keep that to yourself and not, like, lash out at people. Because lately, I think a lot of them, I think Westbrook had an incident the other day with a guy, and the guy told him, like, he lost him some money. And, like, Westbrook was like, I got kids. Like, you can't just talk to me like that or talk to me outside my name. And I think we're getting to a dangerous spot. And I'm actually proud of this. I think it was either a senator or one of the league commissioners when they asked the betting places to take prop bets off of college sports. I think that's huge. I think that has to happen because it's just not right and not fair. And it lends to too much temptation for the individual players, for incidents of point shaving and things of that nature.
Agreed.
I think in 2 years, we're going to have, within the next 2 years, we're going to have our gambling scandal, a bigger one than the Iowa and Iowa State one. And the problem is the league won't be able to push it under the rug, and we're going to have to deal with that.
I agree. I don't like where it's going. I don't like that people are, yeah, it's your money. It's called gambling. You're taking a gamble. So Do you send death threats to a lottery machine when your number doesn't come out? Do you send death threats to the cashier when you use your scratch off and you don't win?
But we've been in this era of death threats for, I mean, like, I think they talk about it more and it's more instantaneous than before. Because I'll never forget Darren Studstill, quarterback, West Virginia, back in the 90s, where he used to get letters on top of letters, and a lot of those letters contained death threats. He said it was part of the thing that, you know, like, damaged him going forward. I think he had a short-term NFL career with the Cowboys, but and maybe Minnesota, but yeah. We've had death threats being sent to players a long time. It's just now we see it in an instant instead of having to worry about the mail going through and, you know.
Yeah, with the DMs and everything.
Right.
Matt chiming in, agree kids should not be getting death threats. Yeah, these are kids. These are kids. As far as the tournament go, Matt says chalk held in the semis should lead to two great games. I think so. And I called on the women's side, I called Iowa versus South Carolina.
I still think, and this is just me, I think Gino missed the moment the other night. I think there was a couple times that he could have taken a timeout because it looked like his girls were gassed. His women were gassed. So I felt like if he had taken a TO instead of waiting for the TV timeout, he could have stole some time for his young ladies to recoup, because the one young lady, number 10, was doing a hell of a job on Caitlin Clark. And to be honest, and I'll say it here, I think Caitlin Clark is going to struggle next level. Because she doesn't have the explosive step to get people off of her. And to me, it looked like the other night, and this may be a thing where she goes, because if I'm her, I go right to Steph Curry. And I start working out with him, like learning how to get off screens, working on my handles, because I think there's a hole in her game in her handles that won't get her free against better talent. And that's not coming from a place of hate. That's coming from just what I see and how I would attack her.
Okay, let me stop you right there. We're in a generation. We're talking about generations. This is welcome to two old men shaking their fists at the clouds. But just because you have an observation and you're critiquing a player, it's not hate. Right. It's never hate. And I hate, oh man, you hating on my, no. No. It's good things you like about somebody's game, but it's also things that they could fix. You see holes in the game. Everybody has a hole in their game. Let me rephrase that. Not many people have a well-rounded game where you can't find a chink in the armor.
Right.
I was listening to a story. J.J. Redick was talking about pool play for the Olympics, and he said he was out there, and Kobe asked him to shoot. And he said Kobe just stood there and watched him shoot. Watch how he came off the ball. Watch how he released. He said he was analyzing me to see how he could attack me.
He also was analyzing, trying to see if he could take something from that shot.
Exactly.
Like it is.
And that Kobe was a tinkerer. He would watch you. He would find your weakness and use it against you. But then he would say, you know, take that little piece right there. I like that. It's every time somebody says something, it's not hate. Constructive criticism. Stop being so soft. S-O-F. Capital T. Soft. Anyway. I can't wait for those games tonight. I don't know. I'm going to be flipping back and forth and trying to figure out how to get WrestleMania and the games on at the same time, but I'll figure it out. So
I'm not even worried about the games tonight. If last night's WrestleMania is going to be the same as tonight, man, what my man Rick James say, cocaine is one hell of a drug. WrestleMania is one hell of a drug, bro.
Well, let's switch over to NFL.
Let's go.
the Las Vegas Raiders. You are now on the clock. The Raiders pick 13. They need a quarterback, an inside offensive lineman, offensive tackle. I'm sorry. I forget that loops. An offensive tackle, a cornerback, and a running back. Midnight Rider, what do you think they go here?
Of course, conventional wisdom is saying that this is one of the two teams that's going to be very aggressive on April 26th and try to move up and trade up into the higher rounds of the draft. I personally believe they have to go quarterback. I like what they got from Aiden O'Connell, but Aiden O'Connell cannot be your starting quarterback or the guy that you rest your hopes and dreams on. He's just not that kind of quarterback. I think his perfect thing is to be the guy, to be a backup and play every couple games or play in the stretch when the starter's hurt. So with that being said, if I'm the Las Vegas Raiders, I'm taking one or two people because we're probably going to be on our fifth and sixth quarterback. If Lions season is telling us the truth and people think J.J. McCarthy's going to go in the top 10, then now we're at the Bo Nix and Michael Penix Jr. section of the draft. I would think that they have to be – this would be the sixth quarterback. So I think this is a situation where I think either the Raiders or the Broncos end up with Bo Nix. And whichever one takes Nix, the other team gets the other person, for lack of a better term. This is kind of an either-or situation.
I think we did do the Raiders last Sunday, didn't we?
I don't know. I'm just going by what you put on the thing, man. I'm like what do you call it?
I'm going by what BJ said. I got to look at that.
I'm like Ron Burgundy. Whatever you put on the telestrator, I'm going to say.
Hold on. Because I think Matt may be right.
And if they don't do a quarterback, then this is a spot for a guy like a J.C. Latham. Get him a big offensive lineman. Another person that they could take is.
Yeah, Matt's right. We did the Raiders. Because when you said McCon, I was like, wait, we did the Raiders already. Okay. We did the Raiders.
All right, so that's number 12.
He said Penix or Nix.
Yep.
Come on. Penix and Nix. No, Penix, no Nix.
He said Penix, no Nix. All right, so here we go. And again, we don't own the rights to any of this music that we played during the show.
Broncos, you are on the clock. Their needs as of such: quarterback, a defensive tackle, a tight end, cornerback, and an edge rusher.
And for them, I just think we're in that same scenario again. I think they're another team that's going to move up or try to move up. And if they don't, they're sitting here probably taking the quarterback that fits them the best. I think, just from what I've been listening to, I think McCarthy might be a better fit for them. But I think they end up taking a guy like Bo Nix. Because I think those are the one of the two guys that would fit them best. If for some reason the quarterbacks that they like aren't on the board, I think they may go corner and try to lock up the field, get themselves like a kid like Terry and Arnold and put him on one side. And then you got the what's the kid's name? Number two. I see his face, see his number. It's not Stingley, it's the other one. His dad played for the Dolphins. Come on.
Surtain.
So you got Surtain on one side, and then you put Arnold on the other. And you just make teams fight to score points. That's the way I see it. Go ahead. What'd you say?
I think Denver goes. They got to go quarterback because you don't have who do you have to lead the troops? You have nobody. You have nothing.
I totally agree. I just think we're going to start running. We're going to run out of quarterbacks. So that's going to be the problem.
But everybody's talking about A.J. McCarthy. I was not impressed with him. I felt He reminds me of a USC quarterback. He's not going to blow your socks off, but he's a good game manager. That's just me.
But you got to, like, I think I said this on another on one of our other shows that we did together. I think J.J. McCarthy is the coach's kid, right? He's the guy that he checks all the intangible boxes. He's getting a bump purely because of Brock Purdy. He's getting the Purdy bump. So he's going to be valued more now than he would have been in any other year if Brock Purdy hadn't come along. So he's getting that gift. And then he's also getting the fact that anytime you throw a microphone in front of Jim Harbaugh, Harbaugh is telling you how great this kid is. And the kid is solid. I just didn't see anything from him that make me think top five, top 10 draft pick. But I do know that once the machine gets behind you, then anything is possible. So we can be saying all this or not. He ends up getting taken like 17th.
If you got Mel Kiper talking about you, he pushing you.
Well, but Kiper pushed Levis last year, and Levis fell to the second round. The year before, I think it was Willis that he pushed, and Willis didn't get drafted in the first round. So there's been guys that he's pushed, and like during the draft season, they've gained momentum, and then you get the draft day, and all that momentum goes to the wayside. It becomes the Bo Callahan from the movie Draft Day, where people were asking who came to his birthday party, and you find out that none of his teammates did. Kind of get some of that scenario, and then the guy just starts falling like a lead balloon.
His was crazy. You said Levis, Willis, and you know another name I thought about that I thought should have went higher, and I was like, I don't know why he didn't get picked higher, but then once he got in the league, I was like, okay, that's why he didn't get picked higher. Will Greer.
That's funny you said that name because I never liked Will Greer.
I know.
I thought he was I think he went to West Virginia.
Yes.
I think he was a byproduct of what is that? I forget who West Virginia's head coach was when he was there. I think it was Holstein or one of those guys. I just thought he was a product of their system. I just didn't get it. I was never wowed by his arm because Jeff Neal always likes to tease me because I am a arm talent. When I talk about quarterbacks, arm talent is normally the headliner for me. So, and I understand that. And this is one year I had Ryan Mallett very high because Ryan Mallett could throw a football throw it a country mile.
I would love to be able to see you say, talk about what was the boy out of Cal? Was not Chris Redman, Kyle Bowler.
Kyle Bowler was, I mean, I think I was younger at the time, but yeah, I got wild by the being on one knee and throwing the football through the goalpost. I definitely got wild by that for sure. For sure. I even think I stole some of that stuff. Like when I played in different leagues, I used to warm up, just trying to like throw them from my knees because that way I knew I was incorporating my upper body and getting my upper body loose. And then I just legs involved later.
Bad boy. Next up, pick number 11. The Minnesota Vikings.
I think these last three teams just make it seem like I'm on record. Like, I'm just going to say the same thing over and over. Like, quarterback is needed here for sure. I think you got to ensure that Justin Jefferson stays on the team. Again, I think this is another spot where a team moves up. I think the quarterbacks might benefit the most from this draft because the way we view quarterback in 2024 is totally different than we viewed it 10 years ago. Now it's more of a situation. You get the kid in the building. The second you realize the kid ain't the kid or the guy, then we got to move on. And it's like we're not taking the time to even figure out if we can fix him. They're just like, all right, let's go on to the next one. You kind of saw that with Josh Rosen. I think you were going to see that with with some other quarterbacks too. That teams want to have their fill. I mean, Kenny Pickett is another guy. Like, they had their fill and then they move on. But I think they got to keep Justin Jefferson happy.
Yep.
If they don't, they're in trouble.
And that's what Matty has said.
So whether it's McCarthy, Penix, I'd actually think Penix would be great in this offense with Justin Jefferson and the Jordan Addison. And then if they can just find them a running back later on, like a Trey Benson, somebody else to help them move the sticks. Oh my gosh.
They just picked up Aaron Jones.
Yeah, but you got to have another, you got to get a young kid because Aaron Jones is lately has missed at least 3 or 4 games in the season. So you got to have somebody behind that. And I think they learned their lesson last year going with Mattson, and Mattson just wasn't dynamic enough. Mattson's a good too. He's a good Robin or a good Aquaman. He's not a Batman or a Superman.
Oh, I love this right here. I love this. Matt says, there's no QB development in the NFL no more. They're either ready or not. And I've been saying that. I've been harping on that for years. And every time I say it, they sit on the show and I say, they, you, the boss, BJ, Big Jim has said it. Delonte has said it. I think even Junior has said it to me before. Nobody's going to do that no more. Nobody's going to hold these quarterbacks' hands no more.
Mm-mm.
We drafted you. Either you go out here and you win or you gone. And I'm like, you're starting a, you're basically wasting your draft picks because you're not nurturing. And that's the word I use every year when we talk about quarterbacks. You have to nurture. You can't just throw them out to nature. You have to nurture. You have to give them the tidbits. You have to feed them. Make sure you build them up. Hey, what did you see there? Well, I saw this, this, and this. Okay, you missed this and this. So when you see that, look for this. Okay, next time you see, all right, I saw that. Good. Let's go on to the next one.
They're still coaching quarterbacks. The problem is we're not sitting around waiting for them to figure it out. I mean, and that's probably the hard part about this. Is we're not waiting to figure out who you are. And I think Green Bay, they are the exception, but I think also they jumped the gun, not to jump the gun, but they were ahead of the curve. And of course they took their quarterbacks in the 20s. So it's easy if I draft somebody on day one of the draft and I draft them at 22, 21, like Jordan Love was drafted, and make them sit behind Aaron Rodgers. Right, but you can't draft a kid in the first round at like 10 and then expect him to sit a whole season behind Marcus Mariota.
What is okay?
You can't like there's certain quarterbacks you can sit behind for a year, and those are the great ones. But you bring a kid in the league and you got your we'll take the Commanders quarterback room, you got Mariota, Driscoll, and Fromm. Fromm has already showed me what he is. Mariota has definitely shown me what he is. And Driscoll, I will tell you this, and I swear there's two quarterbacks I've ever watched in college football that I thought were the worst two quarterbacks I've ever watched. Jeff Driscoll, when he was at Florida. Matt Sims, when he was at Tennessee. And both of them had the intangibles. So quarterback coaches gave them a shot in the league. You know, like what's the guy now that does all the analysis? He went to UVA, Kirk. I can't think of Kirk. I think it's Kirk Benefert. He was at UVA about 3 years ago. I told my buddy Al Clark when they played Virginia Tech, he mentioned the dude stunk. I said he's going to play in the NFL. Now, he may not stay long, but he's going to get a bite at the apple because he fits what they like. And I think he played 2 or 3 years. And now he does a QB analysis on YouTube. So here we go.
Here's the thing. When you, God, just pull my coat and follow me on this one. Don't crucify me for this. When Matt said Green Bay is the only exception, the first thing I thought about, I said, okay, you take it all the way back. You get a Hall of Famer that wins you championships in a Bart Starr. You got to look at that gap that they went without having that guy at QB. Okay? Then you get the magic man, Mojahowski. Then after Mojahowski, he goes down, you get Brett Favre. Brett Favre decides to give it up. You had already drafted Aaron Rodgers, who was sitting. Boom. Aaron Rodgers wants out. You got Jordan Love. Now, if Jordan Love turns into a Hall of Fame talent, that's 3 for 3. 3 for 3. Because they sat and nurtured their quarterbacks. But they were behind Hall of Fame quarterbacks, except for Favre. Mojahowski was a good talent, but he wasn't Hall of Fame.
Talking about the Magic Man.
But he wasn't Hall of Fame.
Yeah. No, he wasn't even close.
But if more teams did that, like you bring in a quarterback, and sometimes teams draft quarterbacks and they have no idea how to develop. Then you have teams that draft quarterbacks that they don't even want.
Well, there's reasons for the second statement. And most times the second statement happens because they are drafting a quarterback that the owner wants and the football people said no to, you know, or they don't want. But I think even like I look at the Commander situation right now, and if you look at the offensive coaches, so you got Kingsbury, Tavita, and I know I just said his name wrong, but Tavita played quarterback at Stanford. David Blau played quarterback at Purdue, I think. Kingsbury played quarterback, of course, at Texas Tech. And Brian Johnson played quarterback at, like, Washington State. So you got four quarterbacks in a room where you have to develop a quarterback. If that quarterback can't find success with those four guys around him, then he should never be able to touch a football ever again in life.
Say it again. Say it again.
Somebody posted content. What is JoJo talking about?
Uh-oh. I ain't see that.
No. It's not in the comments. It's on a post we got.
All right.
In the,
okay. Moving over to pick number 10. The New York Jets. Now, on the clock.
Oh my gosh, I love this. I love this because I don't have to say a quarterback's name. I don't have to sit here and say Bo Nix, Michael Penix, any of that. But I think I say somebody like Rome Odunze, the wide receiver from University of Washington. Put him on one side. You got the kid, Garrett Wilson on the other. You got Brett Favre, two weapons that maybe he can make magic with.
I think Aaron Rodgers.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Aaron Rodgers.
It's the Jets.
You said Brett Favre.
Oh, I'm sorry. Damn. Another person I think they will go with is the kid from Alabama, the defensive end, Dallas Turner. I think he's another person that gives them an option off the edge because they lost the kid from, I think it was Bryce Hurt, that was their edge rusher last year. So you lose him. I think he went to Philly. So now you got to replace that. You got to place that edge pressure. And I think that's another place where you go. Another spot I think they go is maybe tackle. The kid's name is Latau from, I think that's how you say it. He's a person that could go here. You might even have a chance for the Penn State kid, Ola Fashanu. You got an option for him. So I think the Jets are in the best spot because they can take best player available for this team and move on with no problems. And I think their best three options are four, because this might be a place for Brock Bowers. The kid from Georgia. Brock Bowers is probably the most complete tight end in this group. He's probably the most dynamic. And if you add that to Favre, I said it again. Jeez, that's a Rodgers. We good to go. I don't know what we're doing here.
Can you pan to the left and the right, make sure John Madden's not sitting beside you? Because Brett Favre.
Yo, I said it twice. Oh.
JoJo says OT. Offensive tackle.
Yeah.
She says she has Rome going to the Bears. I actually got him going to the Cardinals.
So you have him going before Marvin?
Well, the Cardinals pick at 8.
Okay.
Matt says, can Rodgers bounce back from not being RFK Jr. VP nominee? That could be a big blow to his ego, even more than the injury recovery.
Well, I mean, Matt, at this point, I just got to be able to say Aaron Rodgers and not call him Brett Favre for the rest of the segment, and we'll be okay.
And JoJo said, I think the Jets should get an offensive tackle. You got to do something to keep Aaron Rodgers upright because they have
Morgan Moses. Didn't they just reacquire Morgan Moses? Yeah.
Yeah. They got Wes Swipes up there, guard.
Of course you would pull that one.
Of course.
Of course.
Of course. This is Wes. That's my guy.
I know.
You have your guys, I have mine.
I know. That's why I just like messing with you because you always say Wes Schweitzer.
Because I told Wes Schweitzer personally. I sent them. They put up his stat on run blocking. And I said, look, I'm 40 years old. I said, brother, if I run behind you, give me some tape and a couple of ibuprofen, I can run for 115 every game behind you. I said, you pulling? And it was like on pulling plays, he had a win rate of like 93%. And I was like, yeah, I can run for 115 behind you all day long. Once you get that initial block and you win, I get second level. It's over, baby.
Mm-hmm.
It's done.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
Don't wake me. I'm dreaming.
Now, you were talking about receiver. Let's not forget that Alan Lazard, they got Mike Williams, and they got Garrett Wilson. Those are your, quite possibly, your 1, 2, and your 3.
Mike Williams is going to get – it's two things for – it's one thing for sure and two things for certain. And Mike Williams is going to get hurt. That's the two things – that's the certain. It's him. It's two players, no matter what's going on, I expect them to get hurt. It's him and Tyrod.
Well, yeah. Because it's Tyrod.
Sure, it could be that too.
And matter of fact, he is your quarterback.
Mm-hmm. He's right there backing up Brett Favre, as I called him all segment long.
So, do you here's a question before we move on to the pick 9. Do you stick with Zach Wilson? Or do you make a draft day trade and see what's the best deal out there and send that kid packing?
I mean, right now, I think the best thing you can get is some stale Hubba Bubba and some Big League Chew for Wilson. I'm just saying, I mean, think about what the Steelers had to give up to get Fields. Like, these quarterbacks aren't holding value. So, and for a kid to show you that he can't do it, I mean, what's his value? So, yeah, break out the Hubba Bubba and the Big League Chew, baby. Get them a 2029 second round pick. I mean, 7th round pick.
Mm. You talk about Big League Chew. My mother used to buy me Big League Chew. So I love that. You know, you chew it. Maybe 2-3 minutes, and then all the flavor's gone. See, then you're just chewing gum.
Yeah, just like, I mean, that was my version of having tobacco on my cheek when I was playing baseball in the neighborhood.
I bet you never had the Michael Jordan gum.
No, I didn't.
I had a pack of that. My mom found me a pack, and it had a post about that big on the back of it. So I cut the post off the back, and it was big enough for me to wrap around my cards. So I used to wrap it around my cards and put a rubber band around it because I only had a stack of cards like this at the time. I had just started.
We'll talk about that later.
Moving on to pick nine. Chicago Bears. The aforementioned Chicago Bears. You are now on the clock. Now, the Bears have traded. Well, shoot, the Bears got a couple things going on. They've traded their quarterback away. So they need a quarterback, inside offensive lineman, a wide receiver, a tight end, an edge, and a cornerback. Midnight Rider, where we going here?
Well, they're taking their quarterback at one. So they won't have that issue at nine. At nine, they get to cash me out. I think the Chicago Bears have managed. It's the Bears and the Texans the last two or three years, and the Eagles, where they've managed to put themselves in catbird seats and allow themselves to manipulate the draft how they want to. And when I say that, the Bears have the number one pick, which was Carolina's pick. They still have their pick at nine. So now, what's to say if the right team rings their phone because you're trying to get ahead of the Vikings, Broncos, and Raiders, or maybe it's one of those three teams trying to get in front of the other to go draft their quarterback, and you know what the trade is going to be. You're trading number one, your one this year, in exchange for theirs, and then you got to give them another number one next year, and maybe a third or something like that, so the Bears can fatten up the coffers in this scenario. But I think if they have to draft, because this is where we talk about having to take the pick. I think JoJo has a good call with Rome Odunze, but you said you have him going at eight, so he wouldn't be available here. And I know Malik Nabers has to go in between that, so there's no top-tier receiver here for Chicago to take. It's a situation where maybe Brock Bowers comes into play and you get your tight end of the future to go with Cole Kmet, Notre Dame kid, you know what I'm saying? The other option is get you another offensive lineman. This time somebody to put on the left side because you drafted a kid from Tennessee last year that's playing on the right. So now you got your bookends for the next 10 years. So maybe this is Joe Alt. This is Olofoshanu from Penn State. Those are the probably likely characters there. Or you say, you know what? Let's double down on defense. I got Montez White on one side. Let's put Dallas Turner, the Alabama kid, on the other side. Let's wreak havoc with our two explosive defensive ends. And that's how we go about business. Because you put those two guys on the ends, and you get 10 sacks or 12 sacks from Sweat. You get 9 or 10 from the kid Turner. And your corner is the kid Johnson that you just re-signed to a great deal. Maybe Chicago's defense becomes a smothering defense, and it allows this kid, Caleb Williams, time to develop with a run game. And they kind of just now they're picking apart pieces and taking their time and letting him be a game manager before he has to be a game changer.
Here's the thing.
One thing. Brett Favre. Okay, go ahead.
Hold on, let me get to this comment by Matt. Clearly, going QB at one, he'll get the best non-QB available. They got enough holes to do that unless they trade down. I agree. But see, this is where I have to disagree with JoJo, because you have Keenan Allen, you have DJ Moore, Dante Pettis. You got
– Who? You said Keenan Allen. You said DJ Moore.
Uh-huh.
And then who'd you say?
Dante Pettis.
Who?
Here we go. You got guys at receiver. I don't want to overcrowd my receiver room. You got DeAndre Swift at running back. And I don't even see why they would go quarterback at number one. You got Brett Rippon. The dude's got the pedigree of the Rippons in his blood. His uncle was a Super Bowl MVP here in D.C. and had probably one of the most best breakout games and seasons where he was, it's just like mind-boggling. You would actually not give him the keys to the Ferrari. All he got to do is not strip the gears. What are we doing here? You going Caleb Williams over Brett Rippon? This is crazy. This is absolutely, positively asinine. You know what you do with that number one pick? You trade down. You trade down, you find a team, you trade down, you get four number one picks for the next 5 years. Then after that, you take those four number one picks over the next 5 years and you turn those into 7 second round picks. That way you got daggone 35 picks for the next 10 years.
I almost took you serious at the beginning of that statement.
I know you did.
That's why I had to stop myself. I was like, wait, what? Oh, man.
But no.
I think you're absolutely right. I mean, I think the Bears go Williams one, and then, yeah, you take the best talent or the best person that fits your needs. And I really think if the Bears continue to push this can down the road, they'll take a trade back in this scenario, get them a one for next year. And again, next year they have two picks. Dante Pettis. Right, JoJo. Dante Pettis. Exactly. Dante Pettis.
Y'all brutal. But no, but didn't that sound like a fan of a team that just feels like they know better
than everybody else? Yeah.
Oh, you know what that reminds me of? Robin Ficker.
The
Washington Bullets super fan.
That's what I thought that was. Okay.
And what something that's, it reminds me of that, not because he was like, you know, he would say something crazy like that. He told Charles Barkley one night down at USA Arena then. But he told Charles Barkley, he said, "See George Mirson, you're not stopping him. Best center in the league." And what's crazy is Charles Barkley talks about him on TNT from time to time. And he stays in touch with him. But it's that level of love for your team. But then you got people that go a little bit too far. And like, we don't need to drive Caleb Williams. You know, we got Brett Rippin. Like, look at who this kid's uncle is, man. All you got to do is just give him the time. Let him just go with these receivers. Man, you put a line in front of him. Yo, we 13-4 automatically. We win in the North.
No, you're not. So I made a statement last year in a tweet to B. Mitch and Finley. I said that the Washington fans and the way the Joe Gibbs won Super Bowls ruined this fan base. Because this fan base wholeheartedly believes that if you build everything else around the quarterback and you have a run game or offensive line, you can put anybody at quarterback. Like this, that is the staunch. If you take any segment on quarterbacks from radio the last 10 years, I guarantee you, in any one of those, that 10-minute segment, there's a guy going to call in. There's two things going to happen. One, whoever our backup is, that's the guy that should be starting. So 2 years ago, there's a guy that all year long, all he kept asking for was Sam Howell. Oh, Sam Howell is the best quarterback on this team, blah, 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 blah. And he probably was, but he was a rookie and Ron wasn't going in. Last year, there's a guy. There's actually two guys. One guy said, "Oh, we got to play Jake Fromm." And I was like, "No, we don't.
You got to see what you got."
There's another guy that every time he called, he didn't end a phone call without saying Jacoby Brissett. And I love the fans of this area. My favorite fan is Dr. Sabah from North Carolina. Dr. Sabah, no matter what we're talking about, we could be talking about what's the synchronized swimming in the Olympics, and somehow Dr. Sabah will find a way to mention Taylor Heineke, no matter what we're talking about. We could be talking about track and field, but it'll all dovetail back to how Taylor Heineke should still be our quarterback. Like I love listening to the radio because it's the guys. And maybe a guy that we need to talk to is the king of the 757, Paulie. I don't know if you have any ties with him, because I know y'all probably been running that John Thompson / Doc Walker / Brian Mitchell circuit. But Paulie's probably somebody we might want to try to just get in and have a conversation with, man. Like have him for the Joe the Fan segment. Because the guy knows his stuff. But he's another guy that he'll talk about going on the lawn and, yeah.
Now, here's what's funny. You say Joe Gibbs spoiled us. Now we got one more pick to get to. You said Joe Gibbs spoiled us, but how did the Cowboys win their three championships in the 90s? They took that blueprint and went on with it. Not saying that Troy Aikman was a terrible quarterback and he was just a game manager. Troy Aikman had the wall of Dallas in front of him. He had a Hall of Fame running back behind him, Hall of Fame receiver on one side, and a pretty damn good receiver on the other side in Alvin Harper. And then he had a Hall of Fame tight end who should be a Hall of Fame tight end in Jay Novacek with a Hall of Fame fullback behind him. So they took that power running game that we used to use. It wasn't the counter trade, but they took that blueprint and won three championships as well.
So what I mean by ruin, it distorts the thought process of the fan base.
The game has changed.
We've been so desperate. There's only one other city that I can think of off the top of my head. Actually, no, it's two. The Jets and the Bears, probably in the Browns. So now it's three. And if I think about it, I might get to four. But they're probably three of the teams that have been so bereft of quality quarterback play over like the last 30 years. Like if you look in Chicago's record book, like their best quarterback probably is still Bobby Douglas. And I know you're gonna say, Sid, go ahead and say it and get it out the way.
Go on.
But no, just say it. Just say it for me.
I'm gonna let you cook. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I want to see where you're going. Go ahead.
No, all I'm saying is, like, in their last 30, 40 years, that's been their best quarterback. And, like, when you think about the Commanders, honestly, the best quarterback in Commander history is probably Kirk Cousins. But nobody – there's not many fans that are going to say that because they're going to say, oh, he wasn't clutch. Well, if he had to be clutch because in, like, three of his seasons here, he led the league in fourth quarter comebacks. The only problem was the defense was so porous that you – no matter what he came back from, the other team went down the field and scored points. You know what I'm saying? I mean, if you think about the running backs that Kirk Cousins had when he was here. Fat Rob? You had the end of Alpha Morris, Fat Rob, what's my man from Florida? Matt Jones. Yeah. Like there are holes in the dog. If I get started on the holes that the Washington Commanders draft strategies, we'd be here all day. Because I got, you know, my favorite saying is your best defensive lineman can't come from Hampton.
And to be honest with you, I can't say Sid Luckman as the best quarterback over the last 30, 40 years. No. Right.
That's why I said it that way, because I knew I had to set parameters just for you.
You don't have to.
Sometimes I put parameters in place because I know your mind.
I'm just saying, man. Come on. Let's get out of here. Let's hit this last pick. Arizona Cardinals, you are now on the clock. Arizona has been through a few things. You got Kyler Murray, Desmond Ridder. Here's the thing. They have
hold on. Did you got some? You got that mixed up. Eight should be the Falcons.
Hold on. When I just looked at, hold on. Wait, where is that? I just had it.
Unless you got a trade that I don't know about.
Hold on.
I see. Yeah. You got caught by NFL Network.
Yeah, that's where I was at.
Yeah, so it's the Falcons, and they had a trade of the Falcons moving up to four, and the Cardinals moving down to eight. That's why you got the Cardinals on your board. This should be Atlanta Falcons on the board, and let me just
we can change that.
But I like the thought. You know what? The thing about it is that probably should be what happens. The Falcons are another team that should be able to take advantage of the draft board and use it to the best of their ability. Yeah, so so Zerline has another trade. Yeah, so it's the Falcons at 8. And if the Falcons are at 8, there's two names, because I think the Falcons have one job this offseason, and that's to get better at rushing the passer. So I don't know if it's the kid from FSU, Jared Verse. I don't know if it's, again, the kid from Alabama, Dallas Turner. But I think they got to rush. They got to put some pressure on the quarterback to help the Kirk Cousins-led offense of the Atlanta Falcons, where hopefully they will spotlight the best running back in the league, in my opinion, Bijan Robinson, my guy. I'm standing on the table for Bijan. I just think that if they can manage that, and I know they will, because they got my man there as the head coach, Raheem Morris, and we got Zach Robinson as the OC. And Zach Robinson has been sucking at the teat of the Kyle Shanahan family offense. And Raheem is probably one of the only coaches that can coach both sides of the football and coach it well. So I think, and I saw, dude, this is how obsessed I am, because I actually went to and found like his first day opening. What is it? Like when you meet the team for the first time?
Mm-hmm.
And I sat there, it was on YouTube, and they showed it. And I literally sat there for the duration of the meeting. I sat in the Atlanta Falcons team meeting. That's how much I believe in Raheem. It's probably, if I didn't have a team, or if I was one of these people that like I could change teams willingly, the Falcons probably would be the team that I'd root for next, because I think Raheem's gonna have them in such a good space from an offensive and defensive spot. And I think they win their division, honestly. And I think this pick helps solidify that. And that's why I think they go pass rusher. If they don't go pass rusher, you can take one of the wide receivers here. I think you can't do tight end because you got Pitts. And I think they're going to unlock Pitts this year with that offense. Look for the play action boot where the tight end leaks out to the backside and up the sideline. I think that's going to be a big play for them this year. And then if they stay true to the Shanahan method, I think they find them a speed receiver later on in the draft. And they take a kid. They almost do like an Aldrick Robinson type of thing. You find a kid that's just really fast. And on certain situations, you put him in the ball game, go play action, boot, run away from him, and let him do the backside post like his life depended on it.
Mm-hmm. Now, with this Atlanta team, I'm looking over the defense, and a name just popped out at me. None other than DC's own Eddie Goldman. Came out of retirement.
That's the kid from FSU, plays defensive tackle, right? He was in the
Bears. They got him at listed at N.
Mm.
So he might have moved to the outside, but he came out of retirement, came back to the Falcons. Because I remember he sat out for COVID and came, and then he kind of retired, and then he came back. But I've been a fan of this cat for quite some time.
There's one day that I'm not doing it to show off, but like we could do names, and I can probably give you their college, if not high school, at some point. It's not like it used to be. Like if we had known each other about 3 years ago, mm-hmm. like you'd have been nauseated at how I do that. Like I literally sat one day. It was a preseason game. I forgot who the Commanders were playing, because they weren't the Commanders, and they were still probably the Redskins. And I was at my buddy's house, and we were watching the preseason game. And every time a player showed up on the camera, I was like, oh, yeah, he went to blah, 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 blah. He played 3 years there, boom, 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 boom. And my buddy would look at me like, what? And then sure enough, the announcer, 30 seconds later, would say everything I had just said. He's like, yo, dog, you need to get a life. I said, nah, I just love college football, man. like I love college football. So, like, doing this draft, even though y'all made me do it in reverse, and I was bitching and complaining the whole time about it, but I actually love this process. I love the process. And draft day, I don't know how we want to do it, but I think JoJo's a Green Bay fan, so we can't put her in it. But maybe we get Matt. Who else is a fan of a team in the top? Maybe we get Delonte if Delonte's available.
Okay.
And maybe we just sit around like four or five of us, and it doesn't have to be an official show. I mean, I think Thursday night is the first day of the draft. So we do the Thursday night. I'm sorry, I missed that. Thursday night throwdown. Yeah. So we do that. But there's a possibility that maybe we do something like that, or we do something in conjunction with maybe you know who my one of my new favorite guys is? I did a show with him on All In Sports, Jack Carr. Maybe I can get Jack involved. But maybe we just do a draft thing where we go through like maybe the first 10 picks of the draft. And just offer our thoughts on it, give feedback, and just go from there.
Okay.
And you know what? Maybe we'll include, let me see, this week I think he's at number two on the KG kid poll. Maybe we get Xavier involved. And let him do some analysis with us on draft day. He can't be number one. I saw the look. He can't be number one just yet.
I looked at him.
He got to overcome a lot.
The look on his face.
The one seat. Is there bread? That's the question.
Not yet. But let me get to this. We were talking about Eddie Goldman. His dad, we call him Big Ed. One of the reasons that I'm able to sit here and do this the way we do it is because of him and Professor Lucky. And we used to walk through the warehouse and name players, and you had to guess the position and the college.
Dude, so there's a thing on, I don't know if it's on Facebook or where I saw it, but they give you the players' college and the teams they play for, and you gotta guess it. I absolutely love it. They'll give you like position and all that, but you just gotta, oh man. I get stuck. It's a wormhole for me. Because then it becomes a challenge. Because now I'm like sitting there and because you got so many names in your head. It's easier when you have the name than when you have the school. So like I struggled because they show cornerback. It said FSU, Falcons, Cowboys. I'm sorry, Falcons, 49ers, Cowboys, Redskins, Ravens. Yeah, but for me, it's different. Like that's the backwards part. Like my mind struggles to work in those areas. Like if you said, all right, let's just name a player that you can think of.
Percy Snow,
Michigan State, middle linebacker, wore number 49. Go, play for Kansas City. Mm.
Jeez.
You tried to stump me. Yeah. Let's go.
Oh, my goodness. Most people don't get Percy Snow. Okay. All right. Keith Van Horn.
University of Utah. Played power forward. Played for the New Jersey Nets.
Nah. Football Keith Van Horn.
Now, that's a good one. That's a very good one. Cause this that's brain
Van Horn with the E.
Keith Van Horn, football. I don't have five. I'll give you that one.
Keith Van Horn, offensive tackle. Went to USC. Played with the Bears from 81 to 93.
Ah, okay. That's where you got me. He started his career in 81. Yeah.
I got his card. That's why.
No. It's cool. I like that. I like getting stumped. Like, that's the thing for me. Like, yeah.
Now, see, that's like I can one of my favorite players growing up, and people say why. I was like, I don't know.
We're in the wormhole. Do we want to like get out of this and then do the wormhole on the
on the WhatsApp?
Yeah. Not even on the WhatsApp. We just do it in the after show.
Well, let's get to what you eating. What you eating today?
Ah, you know, I did not do good food prep this week. I have ground chicken and I have ground beef. One of those two things is going to end up being tacos for lunch. I think we're going to do, I don't know which one. We might even do both. We might do like a beef and chicken taco. That might be an option. Actually, it'd be better if I had steak though. If I had like a skirt steak and then I should have marinated that overnight and then put it into a skillet and cooked it. I'm getting hungry as I'm thinking about this now. No, actually our plan was we want to make burgers. I was thinking about making like chicken burgers. But I realized I don't think I have enough hamburger rolls. So I think we're doing tacos.
Ooh, Matt. Matt, I'm on my way. I ain't had
goulash. No. Matt. I mean, KG, because you got to get the fresh bread from your wife. Then go get the goulash.
God, I haven't had goulash in years, man.
That's a powerful meal, man.
Ooh.
And that'd be perfect for the night because you're watching WrestleMania. Oh, yeah.
You trying to put me to sleep.
You can just get fat.
Lay back on the sofa, be like, yeah, I'm too.
Dog, I know I said this last night on the WrestleManiacs, but Roman Rooster. I don't know if you know, and if you don't know, we gotta do one day. I don't know if it's next Saturday or not. Now next Saturday I gotta get haircuts, so I know I can't do next Saturday.
But let me explain something to you. You talking about you gotta get haircuts, baby? I ain't had a haircut in 4 years.
Yeah, you have
to grow out. Let your soul glow.
This right here needs to be managed a little bit. All right, it ain't what it used to be. You know what I'm saying? It ain't the curly locks like back in the day. Like now we got like a little desert in the middle of the curly locks, so the curly locks can't curl like they used to. You know what I'm saying? Back in the day, you called me, be like, "Yo, bro, we gotta roll." I'm like, "All right, cool. I get dressed. Boom, go upstairs." And it took me 10, it used to take me 10 minutes sometimes because I had these nice, pretty curls and I had to get the curls to curl the way I wanted them to before I left the house. My boy's like, "Yeah, what you doing?" I was like, I gotta get my hair right. He's like, "Dog, just put some water in your shit and let's go." Excuse the language. And I was like, "Nah, I gotta get it to curl right." And my girl never came to me and be like, "Yo, your curls are curling correctly today, and here's my phone number." That never happened. But in my mind, I always thought that the curls had to be right for the ladies. Give me a little temp fade on the side, get the curls going. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Dog, I'm telling you, you've learned more about me in the last 2 days.
Have you... You said something about Roman Rooster. Have you done Slim Chickens yet?
Oh, Slim Chickens was in heavy rotation early on.
Okay.
Get their three-piece with the fries and the root beer. Oh, it's on and popping. Like that's when I want to get away from my job for a little bit, I'll drive out there, pick it up, come back. The one thing the pandemic did make me realize is I don't like lines. And I don't like people. So I get my food, like I pre-order, and I go walk in and I walk out. It's the best thing ever happened in my life. That's the best thing that came out of the pandemic. So wrap this shit up, right? Nat's pitching. I told you this before. I didn't even say this Thursday, but I gotta say it again. The Nats pitchers have to do better. I mean, I think Patrick Corbin gave him 7 innings last night, but he gave up 4 runs in like the first inning. Shout out to BJ. BJ, you are still the MVP. I'm not going to do a Sideline Junkies top five list because that's unfair because I love all y'all the same. But BJ, Stream East, yeah, dog. I was sitting here last night, the last two nights, and I realized that with Stream East, I can watch my Nats. So my computer has the Nats. My TV has whatever garbage is on the TV. Shout out to Brian Johnson.
Most definitely the boss.
Shout out to your wife for making bread. That's another shout out. Because I'm telling you now, your kids might have to move to another part of the house or somewhere. Because if I get my hands on homemade bread, I might like start moving my stuff in.
All right.
You give me bread and some good butter, dog.
Now, here's the thing. Not only does she make bread, she can make her own butter.
I don't need that.
No, I lied to you not.
I don't want that. Someone like KG.
No, listen.
You got to hear me out first. And then I feel like Kanye right now, like talking to Taylor Swift.
I'm going to let you finish.
Bruh, I have a very weird, addictive personality. So right now, one of my addictions is sunflower seeds, right? So I haven't had sunflower seeds probably since last year. The last 3 weeks, every time I stop to get gas, I get gas, I get Altoids, and I get a bag of sunflower seeds. And honestly, the funny thing about it, it's the same guy for the last 8 years that waits for me at the BP by Josh's house in Woodbridge. He's just like, hey, buddy, what's up? I was like, hey, what's up, dog? He was like, how much you want? And then he knows to ring everything up. I have this weird thing where I have these weird connections with people in the places I go. And I think I'm such a regular that they just know what I'm ordering. Because I don't change my order often. Like, I go to the corner. Like, dog, I can walk in my corner liquor store right now. And all I can do is point. That's all I have to do. I'll be like the third or fourth person in line. And they'll see me. And I'll just point. And they'll be like... So if I point to my left, then they know I'm paying for it. If I point to my right, they know it's on DoorDash. Because on Fridays, I'll DoorDash and do pickup. So that way I ain't got to stand in line and wait. Because I don't know what these new Negroes do in the liquor store, where they have to like figure out at the counter what they're ordering. I don't know that world, you know what I'm saying? It's like you walk in and they're sitting there like, oh, what should we get? And then you don't notice, oh god, never mind. I'm about to go into a whole nother wormhole.
But let me tell you this. She makes bread
and she makes butter.
But then when she makes butter,
I don't think I can do butter.
She made rolls. The last time she made rolls last week, she was like, oh, I don't think they came out right. Oh, let me show you they came out right. Open that thing up, man. It was hot. Put that butter in there. Close it back up. Let the butter melt.
All right, ho. This is gonna tell me how much you appreciate. When you put your butter in the middle of the bread, when you close it back, do you take a little bit of butter and rub it on the top?
Of course, you do that before you even take it out the pan.
Okay.
You rub it on the top. You got to.
Hey, I didn't want to know. On the top. I had to qualify you as a friend because if you didn't do that, I would think you were a Philistine.
Oh no Philistine for me. Yeah. You rub that butter on the top because you want that butter to get all over.
All right, hey, you know what? Let's say we don't do the overtime because we about to voyeur off in the. We about to go off into something different, bro.
Hey, my wife and Matt says my wife is the same way when she bakes. She's a perfectionist baker. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. My wife said, I don't think this loaf of bread is good. Let me show you how good it is. Let me show you how amazing you are.
Anytime she wants to throw
away bread, and I hope bread, she can hear me right now.
If she wants to throw away bread, let me know. I'll be the human trash can.
Is mama? Because I hope she can hear what I'm saying about her right now. Because I'm talking about her. I'm talking about her. She when she gets in there, she gets this look in her eyes. And
so hold on. So when she cooks, this is another thing that's going to help me out. And you, I gotta ask you this too: are you listening to music when you cook?
Depends on what I'm cooking.
Okay.
But she'll get the music going.
Yep.
And some even when she don't go with music, she get in there and it's like she'll be like, "Oh, I'm getting ready to go get something to drink."
All right. So let's table this for the after show, and let's get the people out of here.
Oh man, you want to see the after show? Look, we got to charge for that. That's $49.95 to join in on that. We take cash, checks, money orders, and we also take credit cards. But ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us. This has been a wonderful Sunday Rise. We will be back on Tuesday to talk NCAA championship, which is tonight. Don't forget, join us tonight after WrestleMania Night 2 for the React Show for Night 2 and see who is the new Picks champion.
I can't. Like, so, last night was so... Like, you don't even understand the unbridled after show. Go ahead. Tell them what we don't do.
Hey, we don't do no overtime, y'all. We are out of here.